Welcome to Northside Baptist Church, Elkhart, Indiana. And before I start my message, I got thinking this week. I got my good buddy Scott Teeter over here. He's going to sing tonight. And it brought back a lot of memories. And I got thinking years ago when I was in charge of a youth group for about 16 years at Community Baptist Church, and we had a lot of friends help us over them years, and we got like Leroy and Alice that used to help us, and I nicknamed Alice Judge Judy. She's pretty feisty, and she kept the girls in line in youth group pretty good, but they all loved her because they knew she had a good heart. And then even before them, we had Scott and Susan. They'd help with the youth group. Great people. Were a great help with us all the time. And Scott has a very unique talent. He's a singing lawyer. How many singing lawyers have you seen? Probably not a whole lot. So Scott and Susan both would go to the jail, and he'd put on a little mini concert to the inmates and give them the word of God. And then one day he came up to me, he says, "Gary, would you like to go to the jail with me, and you could preach, I could do the singing?" And I thought, I've never been in jail, and I don't know if I want to be. And I had to stretch myself a little bit to say yes, but I did, and it was life-changing. The first time we went to the jail was April 14th, 1991, and I remember it well. Scott and Susan and I met at the jail, and Scott introduced me to John Meyer, a mountain of a man. He was probably about 6'7", 380 pounds. And I shook his hand, and I thought I was shaking a baseball mitt. I mean, this guy, he was something else. But he had the meekest, mildest voice, and he never raised his voice. And when he talked to the inmates saying, "You know, these men are here tonight, preach the word of God, and you guys need to remember this is like a church," and he'd never get louder than that, and all them guys would listen. So he's a good man. And I asked John, "How long can I preach?" He says, "As long as you want, nobody's leaving." So I preached that night, gave an altar call. 8 men come forward accept Jesus Christ that night, the very first time, and I was hooked. I've never left that jail, but on cloud 9, I'd went there about 30 years. I was a chaplain there, and now the Lord changed my ministry. But about a year after I got started, Scott ended up being a prosecuting attorney for Cass County. So he couldn't put him in jail on a Friday and preach to him on a Sunday, so he couldn't go there anymore. But and then after that, he ended up being, I think he's assistant attorney general for the state of Michigan now. Is that right? Yeah. Isn't that something? The Lord just kept blessing him. And since I was kind of on my own after that, I'd ask different men that I thought were godly men to step up the plate and help at the jail. And one was Leroy sitting there. And a friend, Roger Pendle, I don't think he's here tonight, but Angelo, he stepped up to the plate, and it was pretty awesome. And to this day, I think Roger Pendle still goes to the jail. He's a chaplain, and Angelo now is a chaplain for the Elkhart County Sheriff's Department. So it's something how the Lord keeps blessing. And I got thinking, if I would have said no to Scott, my life would be completely different. I probably wouldn't be up here preaching tonight. And Leroy wouldn't have went to the jail. Angelo wouldn't have went to the jail. And Roger Pendle and Ralph Vanderwerf, in fact. And it's all because of what Scott, he got a spark to get a fire going. He was going to the jail and singing, and he just kept spreading the word. And I'm telling you all this because in life, we have opportunities. If something comes up, we need to to be there. And as a church family, we're on the J team, the Jesus team. And to be on the on a team, let's say you're on a baseball team. When you're on the team, you're not up in the bleachers. You're in the field, or you're at least in the dugouts where you're preparing yourself to go out into the field. That's what we need to do as Christians. And some people say, I'm too old to do anything in the church. Well, you got a cell phone? There's a lot of people are in hospitals, people that are shut-ins, people are depressed. And what an impact each one of us could do by giving them a call and say, hey, I've been praying for you today. How you doing? But through all that, those opportunities I had, people at work were asking me, well, what are you preaching about? And so I decided to start taping my messages on cassettes. And ladies at work, and well, they'd start passing around, so I kept giving more and more out, and people wanted more of them. And then I'd go to the doctors, the grocery store, I'd give out these cassette tapes, and then when nobody wanted those, we went to CDs. We gave out like 38,500 of those. Then when nobody wanted those, the Lord blessed with a podcast. I got these podcast cards I give out all the time, and it goes worldwide now. And I think we've had about 68,000 hits on that. People in China, India, Germany, all over the world's listening to this old hillbilly Michigan preacher. And Scott's the guy that got it all started with his ministry. And I'm telling you, it only takes a spark to get a fire going in this world. And each one of us need to be a spark to get that fire going in the world. And Scott, would you stand up so everybody see? Here's the guy. And then we got Leroy, stand up. Angelo, stand up. Is Roger here? I don't think he is. But these guys are all part of that ministry from him just starting it there. So praise the Lord. And thanks a lot, Scott. And now I'm getting to my message. And the message is called, In All Things, Give Thanks. And it's difficult to do at times. And I hope through this message tonight, it might give you a different perspective of the bad things in your lives. I'm going to give examples of things that were kind of devastating in my life. But, you know, in all things, give thanks. Through every trial and tribulation, I honestly could say, thank you, Lord. And the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. In everything give thanks. Even through the sad times, even through the bad times, even when in real hard times. But in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. As a Christian, we should be the happiest people in the world. And when people see us, they should say, I want what that guy has. That's what they should be thinking. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. People in the world see things going on and wonder, why is that guy still smiling? You know, whatever. And in the real world today, when a Christian goes through a bad situation, a trial, the world should see a difference on how we handle that trial over how the world handles that trial. Should be a difference. John chapter, this is what Jesus says, John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're on the winning side. I have so many blessings in my life. I could fill volumes of books if I started writing down all the blessings. And it's blessings just seeing family and friends here tonight. That's a blessing right there I can check off. It's great. And I'm not saying my life has been without troubles, without trials, without tribulations. And I've had 15 surgeries, just that over that. And I've had trials in my life. But I've led a blessed life, and I can honestly say that. And I'm going to share a few of God's super blessings that it didn't happen by chance. I'm just sharing three different things that it's almost unreal. A million to one odds that these three things would happen. And it's kind of comical, some of them. And then I'm going to share some of the trials I went through. So, number one is, well, we got a motorhome after I retired. I worked almost 44 years building machinery and welding at CTS in Elkhart, Indiana. And when I retired, we bought this real nice motor home. The Lord blessed. It was a good price. We put over 70,000 miles on it. And I consider Nancy and I, when we're out on the, or anywhere really, we're missionaries. We're just self-supported missionaries in this motor home. And we give out these podcasts and CDs wherever we go. We love the travel. Plus, we get to witness to people all the time. And it's almost like if I go to the same stores like Walmart, Costco's, or whatever, I see a lot of the same people. When we travel, it's virgin territory. I mean, everybody I meet is somebody new and exciting. So when we travel, we let the Lord lead. We went 70,000 miles, and out of them 70,000, we never made a reservation until last year, and just a couple days. But we just keep traveling, and the first time I remember a real neat miracle. We've been driving most of the day, and Nancy does all the driving. I'm on the phone figuring out where we're going to spend the night. Walmart, Cracker Barrel, Forest, whatever. Home Depot, we camped at a lot of these places, parking lots. We travel, and then we just go in there and stay the night. And so we're traveling through Bighorn National Forest, and it's like 80 miles of forest long. And we're traveling through there, and I haven't figured out where we're staying tonight. And I see I don't have any cell service. So, well, let the Lord lead, and we're going along, and I see this river and a parking lot by the river. And there's people down there fishing. I'm thinking, well, we could stay there overnight. So we went down there, and I'm witnessing to this couple. And I'm giving them some of my CDs. And I'm saying, could we camp here overnight? I said, oh, no, you can't camp here overnight. I said, well, I don't know where we're staying. They said, well, there's a campground. It's 5 miles down the road. And we made reservations there to stay. We already paid for them, but we're not going to use them. You can have our spot tonight for free. Now, what's the, and they said, follow us. We follow, we got to escort right to the camping spot. Is that a miracle or what? That isn't by chance, that's a God thing. Number two, we're in the Grand Tetons, out in a national forest, camping for free. And we're talking to these people and witnessing people. And somebody said, you guys need to get bear spray walking around here and stuff. I said, I don't even know where you buy this stuff. Well, the next day, we decided to go to the Jackson Lake Lodge at the Tetons just to visit, just to nose around. My buddy says, you need to go there. It's awesome. It costs over $400 a night on up to stay there. So we went there to check it out. And Nancy's in the hallway. This guy, just out of the blue, comes up to her and says, do you need bear spray? How many people's ever came up to you asking if you needed bear spray? I mean, that's a million to zillion to one. And she said, yeah, we could use some bear spray. How much you want for it? He says, it's free. I'm leaving today. So that's another, it's just weird God thing. Number three, If you talk to Nancy, her favorite place to go visit in all the world is Scotland. And our 25th wedding anniversary is coming up that year, okay? July 26th of 2000. If you figure that out, this year's going to be our 50th wedding anniversary. Time flies when you're having fun. So our 25th is coming up, July 26, 2000. And the boss comes up to me, company guy, and he says, the company wants to send you overseas for a couple weeks to teach people how to work on the machinery you built. I build these vibrating bowls that orientate piece parts, and for robotics pick them up and all this kind of stuff. But that's my specialty. So they said, you want to send me overseas? I said, well, where are you sending me? He says, Scotland. So 2 days after our 25th wedding anniversary, we are in Scotland. And it's all paid by the company. And I also consider it's a missionary outreach too. I'm getting paid by the company to be a missionary. So we drop off in Glasgow, Scotland. They give me a car. And I'm driving on the wrong side of the road with a steering wheel on the wrong side of the car. And when I get to the motel, I'm finding out when I go to work the next day, there's three roundabouts connected to each other. So you're going this and going this and you're wrong side of the road going backwards, steering wheel. I'll tell you, that was crazy. The Lord spared me. I didn't get in a wreck. In fact, one of the guys from Scotland that came to our house one night for deer stew. The next day I see him at work. He has bandages on his face. And I said, what happened to you after you left the house? He said, I panicked and got on the wrong side of the road and hit another car. The Lord spared his life. But so we're there in Scotland, and every day Nancy gets to have fun while I'm slaving away at work, you know. That's how it is. And I get there. These guys don't, they say they speak English, but they don't speak English, trust me. They got this Scottish brogue that you can't hardly understand. And the head guy there, he's been in my house before. His name is Alan. And he says, you have to meet Rode. Rode, he's a Christian man. You like Rode. And I said, his name's Rode? He says, yeah. And I said, how do you spell that? R-O-D. I said, that ain't road, it's rod. So that's how they talk. And then one day I'm in the shop where the machinery's at and stuff, and six of us guys are talking, engineers and stuff, and they're all talking. And I can't hardly understand them. I just raised my hand. I said, stop. I need an interpreter. I mean, that's how bad these guys talk. I'll tell you, it's crazy. But we were blessed going there. We had the car. We got to drive around on the weekends. During the day, Nancy would walk around, and in the evenings, we take long walks. And the town is called Bothwell, and it's a real small town. It's like Andy Griffith type thing, like Mayberry. And the store's closed at 5 o'clock in the evening. Isn't that crazy? And everybody walked their dogs in the parks. That was a key spot to witness in Scotland. At the time, we had a dog kennels. We used to train dogs and board dogs and raise dogs. So I had these dog pictures in my wallet. And all I'd have to do is find somebody walking a dog and start talking to them, showing them dog pictures. It was so easy to witness to them. They'd take my cassette tapes and daily breads and stuff. I had special pockets in my pants that I could put all these cassette tapes in and daily breads. I'd stuff them full. Met a doctor one time. He invited us to his house. So we went to his house. And one evening in town we were walking, and this old couple's walking around, and we start talking to them. And they invited us to their house the next day. So while I'm at work, Nancy goes and visits them and has tea. And she told that couple that I preached at the jail. And the old man was an atheist. And so when I came that evening with Nancy, he had all these questions for me. And every question I answered with the Word of God. And we talked, I bet, two and a half hours. And he was really interested. And I gave him this book by Josh McDowell called More Than a Carpenter, because Josh McDowell was an atheist as a young man and kind of cocky. And he was going to study the Bible and prove that it was wrong. Well, Josh McDowell got saved and he wrote the book More Than a Carpenter. So I gave him that book and some daily bread, some cassette tapes to listen to. When we left, he told me, and I get a little emotional at times, he told me I made more sense than anybody ever talked to. Well, he never talked to anybody that gave him the true word of God. And he said they were going to try church out next week. So what a blessing that that old couple was going to try church. And got another blessing. There's a church right across the street from our motel, and it said service Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. If you know Scotland, a lot of the churches are dead, and you're lucky they even have one service on Sunday. So when we seen it had three services, we figured it was preaching the Word of God. So we went there on a Wednesday night, and there's nobody at the church. The time's supposed to start, and there's a guy inside. He's working on a countertop in the kitchen. And I said, well, where's church? He said, well, there's a holiday today, so we're not having church, but I'm one of the deacons, and we talked a while. And he says, if you come to church Sunday, we'll have you over for lunch in our house in the afternoon. So we went there Sunday, and after church, we went to their house, and they treated us like royalty. It was awesome. It was a blessing. And then the following Tuesday, some of the women from the church picked Nancy up, took her out to lunch, and took her out sightseeing. So another miracle after miracle of the Lord. And the last night we were there, I still had six or seven of my cassette tapes with me. And we were going to take a walk for the last time. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to take these messages back home. I want to leave them here, so guide my way. So we're walking along the river and come across a fisherman. And we talked to him a while, found out he's a Christian man. And I told him, I still have these. I want to leave here in Scotland. And he says, you know, give me all of those, and I'll start making copies of them and start giving them out. Is that a God thing or what? And he lived in the town across from the river we were at on the other side. It's a town called, Blantyre. And that's where David Livingston was born. If you know anything about David Livingston, he was a missionary to Malawi, Africa. And he was a very powerful missionary. In fact, Nancy went to the museum one afternoon while I was at work in Blantyre. So in all things, give thanks. That was August of 2000. And things are doing great. And, you know, we had a great time on that mission trip. I think of it quite regular how Lord blessed in so many details on that trip. And then, in all things, give thanks. It was easy, wasn't it? Say, give thanks on that. Well, 3 months later, November 15th, my mom passed away. 20 days after that, my dad passed away. 6 days after that, my aunt passed away. We expected my dad to pass away. He had Alzheimer's, and my mom would visit him every day at the nursing home. And my mom seemed like she was in great health, but she held a secret. She was having all kinds of stomach problems and wouldn't let on, and then she finally went to the doctor. They said, well, you have diverticulitis. And so, well, she set up for surgery. She goes in for surgery. She's driving her car the day before she went into the hospital. So they open her up. She was full of ovarian cancer. full of it. All they could do was put a colostomy bag on her, sew her back up. And my brother and my two sisters and I was in the room when they told my mom that she was going to die, more or less. They said, you're full of ovarian cancer. There's really no hope. And more or less, you're about dead. And my mom didn't cry. She didn't waver. She didn't stumble. Her words were, whatever the Lord's will is. She was solid. She may have been weak physically, but she was a powerful spiritual warrior for Jesus Christ. She was ready to go. She didn't care. Whatever the Lord's will is. So 2 weeks after she was told she's going to die, she did. She died on a Wednesday. But that Sunday before, oh, the Lord blessed her. She was smiling. She was full of life. She had a reunion with family members and friends she knew all day. She would just laugh and smile. Just a great time. And then Monday, I went to see her. She was so weak. When I came in the room, she couldn't say a word, but she gave me a big smile. Tuesday, she was in a coma. Wednesday, she died. Then 17 days after that, my dad died. Oh, I've got a finished story. Before my mom died, she asked me to give the funeral. She said, you talk about Jesus, because we know a lot of relatives don't know Jesus Christ. You preach Jesus at my funeral. And that was the hardest funeral I ever gave, with my mom laying dead behind me in a coffin. It was hard, but I preached Jesus. And praise the Lord. I know where she's at. Someday I'm going to see her again. And I had that peace that passes all understanding. In all things, give thanks. 17 days later, the day after my mom passed away, I preached it to jail. Three people came to Christ. 17 days later, my dad died, and I played accordion at his funeral. 6 days later, my aunt passed away. I gave her funeral, and a week later, I led my uncle to Jesus Christ. In all things, give thanks. And I have had a blessed life, and I've had a lot of injuries. I'm going to tell you about them now. I've had 2 rotator cuff surgeries, 2 elbow surgeries, 2 hand surgeries, 3 hernia surgeries, gallbladder surgery, 2 knee surgeries, eye surgeries, and a few other surgeries. So, but you know what I found out from all these surgeries? The Lord gave me a doctor's ministry. I got to see so many doctors, so many nurses. It's unbelievable. So I'm able to witness. I even when I still had cassettes, I'd give the doctors cassettes and CDs. Now it's the podcast cards. And if I'm in the waiting room, it's fair game. People are playing on their phones. I just go up to them. I say, here, you get a chance, check out my podcast. They're already got the phone there. So it gives them something to listen to. But I've been in and out of the emergency rooms. I've had all sorts of surgeries, like I say. And Lord bless me, one day I had the opportunity to get a root canal. Yeah, I got a root canal. And a crown, same day. And so the doctor, he's got my band, steel band around a tooth, I think, and a bunch of gauze in there, and he's got this air thing on there, and he's right in the middle, he says, oh, I got an emergency. Even the nurse looked, I got an emergency. I don't know if he had to use the restroom or what, but he was gone like 20 minutes. Nobody knew where he went. So I'm there with them, and it's hard to talk. But gave me an opportunity to witness to the nurse. I have a captive audience right there. So, and I remember this. I started telling her about Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom. But she was in Germany. and she was in a Nazi death camp. She lost her all her relatives. And what a powerful testimony. What a woman. She wrote a book, The Hiding Place, and it even became a movie. So if you need to look that up, Corrie Ten Boom. And I shared that with her while I was like this, but and she looked it up on her phone, and praise the Lord. In all things, give thanks. I was able to witness somebody that way. So then another time, I got in a car accident, and it wasn't my fault, and it tore my rotator cuff, messed up my car, messed up my hand, and what do you say? Praise the Lord! I tore my rotator cuff, messed up my car. Well, I'll tell you the other side of this story. But at the same time, my good buddy, Gordon, very good buddy, was dying of cancer. He had a brain tumor right here, cancer's brain tumor, and his brain stem. And when I'm off after my surgery, I got to spend quality time with that man. I'd go over to his house, and we'd talk about the good old days. We'd hunt, and we'd shoot bows and guns together all the time, help one another out. And I'd read the Bible to him. I'd read the Daily Bread to him, and we had a good time. And we even took therapy together. I was getting therapy for my shoulder, and his wife scheduled his therapy at the same time. He had to do therapy just to keep his motor skills moving because of that brain tumor. And he told me, when I die, I want you to do my funeral. I want you to preach Jesus Christ at my funeral. Well, I did. And that accident was a blessing. I can honestly say, in all things, give thanks. I'm going to tell you some things that people would no way say is a blessing. Here's some of them. I got sick. I got a flat tire. I got laid off my job. My car won't start. My kids have the flu and they're puking all over. And I did say puking all over. Would you count that as a blessing? Not usually. But the day of 9/11, those reasons are why people didn't make it to work at the Twin Towers in 9/11. It spared their life. So remember, when you're going through some trials and tribulations, remember these things. These people, thanks the Lord for the flat tire, getting in a traffic jam. There's so many things that the Lord may have spared you from. Just remember that in bad times. In this country, in the USA, we're so blessed, we can't comprehend it, no way. Angela went to Kabir, Africa for a mission trip. And you look up Kabir, Africa, it's slums, violent crime, life expectancy to 30 years, 19% of children die by their fifth birthday, no running water. People live in tin huts with mud, which is like elephant dung. And there's 1 million people living within 1.5 square miles. Wow. And Angelo says there's ditches along these bad roads with just raw sewage in them. And he told me about the flying toilets. Have you ever heard of a flying toilet? Well, this is something different. People take a dump in a Walmart bag and hurl it in a big pile. That's the flying toilets. And we're so blessed. And he also said he'd watch the kids go to school, and they'd each have to take a stick to school. And they had to take, that was their lunch ticket, taking a stick. So what they do is pull all these sticks together, put them in piles, start a fire, and they'd put a great big pot of stew on there, and they'd cook their lunch. And he also says that these kids would sing songs, and they seem happy. And they didn't have nothing at all. And one day they were singing a song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," and they were singing it with joy. And Angelo said, started tearing him up. It's very sad. Those kids were used to what they had. And I think in our country, we're so used to being spoiled rotten. I think we need to go for a week to Kabir, Africa, and I think that'd change everybody's attitude on what they'd call as a blessing. Just turn the faucet on, that's a blessing. Real water. I heard it once as, you don't know the value of water till you have to carry your own. And that, there's truth to that. And you look in the Bible, you look at Joseph, David, Noah, Job, Moses, all these guys, none of them had an easy life, nothing easy. But I do say they had a blessed life. Even Paul and Silas in jail, they were singing. They were praising the Lord. I have a good friend named Mark Stump, and he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and if you know anything about it, there's a very low survival rate. And I visited him a couple times at the hospital. He's always upbeat. He's a Christian. He loves the Lord. And he'd always be smiling when I'd see him. And then he called me, said, I'm going to have surgery now here coming up. And we talked for an hour and a half. And we were laughing. We were praising the Lord. And he has pancreatic cancer. He just had surgery a few weeks ago. He's back home, and they said they got it all. So praise the Lord. In all things, give thanks. 5 weeks ago, I was plowing my driveway, and I got all done, and I'm walking back towards the house. I hit some ice, and man, did I hit on my back like I got hit by a bulldozer. I mean, I knocked the wind out of me, and I had my hearing aids out, and I still heard something crack. I mean, that's not a good thing. And I thought I broke my back, and I'm laying there with the wind out of me. I couldn't breathe for about a minute. And you ever see this advertisement that says, I've fallen and I can't get up? Well, that's me. So I called Nancy on my cell phone. I've fallen, I can't get up. So I told her, if you come out to check me, make sure you get the boots on and have these metal cleats on so you don't fall. She comes out, there's nothing she can do. Finally, I crawl on my hands and knees, get in the house, and I finally pulled up on a chair and stood up. And once I stood up, I couldn't bend over. I'm hurting for certain, bad. So Nancy calls Angelo. And Angelo and Brian come over. They were working on a hot water heater for Brian. And they come and get me. And I grab a handful of these Jesus things. I don't know if you've ever seen these little things, but these are awesome. And I'll tell you a little bit more about them. Grab a handful of them, a bunch of my cards, because wherever you go, you got to be ready to witness. So we get there, and they drop me off, and I'm talking to this lady, and I already told you I had a doctor's ministry. Well, I had one there, too, that night, emergency room. And this lady's putting an IV in and putting some pain medicine in it for me. And I'm talking to her. She has two teenagers. And I tell her about my podcast, and I told her, you know, maybe your teenagers need to listen to this podcast because young people, choices they make now can affect them the rest of their lives. I told them, I see it at the jail. And there's a message on choices, and there's another one your teens may want to listen to. It's called Seek. And it talks about the curse of 27. All these Hollywood people that kids want to be like, all the Hollywood people that died at the age of 27 of drug overdoses, alcoholism, and suicides. And she was very interested, and I gave her that podcast card, and I told her, you know, maybe I'm here tonight so you and your children can listen to this. And she said, well, she agreed. And I gave her one of these little Jesus things. I said, you need a little Jesus tonight. And I put it in her hand, and she got a big smile on her face. Then they wheel me to the get a CAT scan. And I get in there, and I can't move. So it takes two guys to get me in there. I'm not a big guy, but still, you know, to maneuver me in there. And I'm witnessing these guys, and I give them my card, and I give them this Jesus thing. And they start laughing. They get a big kick out of it. And I said, maybe that guy behind the window wants one. And they said, yeah, Juan needs a lot of Jesus. So he comes out, and he gets a card. He gets one of these little Jesus things, and they're all laughing. So planted seeds that way, and I get back, and doctor says, you broke 3 ribs. And I gave him the card and Jesus stuff, and then I'm walking out, and usually I thought they'd wheel you out in a wheelchair or something, but they said, you're free to go, and I can't even hardly walk. I'm like this, and I don't even know where I'm at in that hospital. And these two little junior high girls, they're coming by, and I said, could you tell me where the how to get out to the foyer? They said, yeah, we're going there. Follow us. And I'm going real slow. And them girls were nice enough to just wait for me. And I'm handing them the card and the Jesus things. And them girls loved this little Jesus thing. They loved it. So I get out in the foyer, and I'm witnessing to a cop, and I give him a card and a Jesus thing. And then the girls come back up to me. He said, my aunt wants one of them Jesus. So I go over there, and there's a whole line of people because somebody in the family was in a car accident. So the whole family's there. So I go right down the road, give them each a card, give them each a Jesus. It was awesome. And in the meantime, I had called Brian to come get me. And praise the Lord for my brother Brian. He came and took me back home. He's a good brother. He brought some food over for us and everything. He's a good man. And so let's see, where am I at? So about 6 days later, I'm hurting so bad, Nancy takes me back to the same emergency room. And they x-ray me, and they said, you got a lot of muscle spasm, that's why it's hurting. And I wasn't witnessing the doctor, I gave him that card. Then when I gave him this Jesus thing, he starts laughing. He says, my nurse has one of these. Well, I probably gave her one, because I think between the two visits, I gave out about 30 of these things. So, you know, in all things, give thanks. You just don't know where you're missing out on an opportunity. And people around you see how sincere you are when you're hurting. That separates the men from the boys. It's easy to praise God when you're going to Scotland. It's another thing when you're in the emergency room. Yeah, and then we're getting ready to leave. And I seen a lady, she seemed very sad. She right by the back door, and I'm leaving. And I went up to her, and I said, you know, you look like you're having a rough day. And she shook her head. I said, you know, I got this podcast, and on it, there's a message called hope. Maybe you need some hope. And there's another message on there called encouragement. I think you need a little encouragement right now. And she shook her head, yes. And I said, I think you also need a little Jesus. I put that in her head. And she started to cry. So even breaking 3 ribs, all that stuff, in all things, give thanks. And my buddy Bob, he told me this once, and I really didn't think much of it, but he said, you know, you never have a bad day. He says, you may have a bad part of a day, but in every day, you can usually find some type of blessing or something good in that particular day. And that day, I broke 3 ribs. That was a bad day. But I found a lot of blessings in that day. And praise the Lord, I ended up busting 3 ribs. And I know I'm kind of long-winded, and I got one more message. This is one more story, and I think it's a good one. Back in September of 27th of 1992, I was preaching at the Cass County Jail. That's been over 32 years ago. I preached a message, and a guy came forward to accept Christ. His name was Wade. And I've never seen anybody do business with Christ like this guy did. He came up said sinner's prayer out loud like I've never seen. He was bellowing it out. You could have heard it all over the jail. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. He's bellowing it. And I went back a few times to the jail to visit him and give him some daily bread, stuff like that. And then I got a letter from him. And about 3 months later, he got saved. Let's see. He got saved September 27th of 1992. And in December of 1992, I got this letter at the house from Wayne. And he's hoping he gets out of jail. Dear Gary, I would like to thank you so very much for your support. You have really helped me. No matter what my future holds, I will serve God for the rest of my life. I know just a short time ago, I was ready to end my life. He's ready to commit suicide. I have lost my wife and hurt so many people. But now that Jesus is in my heart, I feel like a new person. I still hurt when I think about my wife. But if I wait on the Lord, I am sure He will take care of things. Again, thank you for telling me about Jesus and your prayers and your cards and calling my wife. Thank you for the Christmas card, the tracts. I hope to see you again soon, hopefully in the free world. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. In Christian love, Wayne. And I really didn't know what happened to him after that. So a year later, I get a letter from Jackson Prison from Wayne, 1993, December. Hey, Gary, how are things with you? He says, I'm doing good. I just want to let you know that I'm still alive and I still love the Lord with all my heart. I'm happy. He's in Jackson Prison. I'm happy with my life. It's been a real blessing coming here. The Lord has opened up my eyes. I really feel His love flowing through my veins. I wouldn't give up all I have been through for nothing in the world. I'm free. No matter where I'm at. And that's a real good feeling. You take care and keep me in your prayers, will you? Friend in Christ, Wayne. In all things, give thanks. He was a druggie for at least 10 years and had a rough life in jail. And he got saved in jail. So in all things, give thanks. And the verse says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new through Christ. A lot of trials, a lot of tribulations that people go through. Some come to Christ through those, and there's some people who never come to Christ. It's a free will, a free choice. Jesus died on the cross. And on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And where do you stand with Jesus Christ tonight? Where do you stand? Jesus said in John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world may be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. How do you receive a gift? You just take it. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. A gift. It's a free gift. And that's what Christ has for each and every one of us here. The free gift. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you need rest for your soul? Christ is asking, do you need rest for your soul? That's what the Word of God says. Come to Him. For the Christian right now in this life, this is our hell. This is worse it's ever going to be right here, what we have. But someday when we die, we'll be in heaven. It's going to be awesome. And here's what the Word of God says for the Christian. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrows, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. They're gone. We're in heaven as Christians. For the unbeliever, the person never came to Jesus Christ, this is the best that you will ever have it. This is it. Because someday, there is a hell. It's heaven or hell, no middle road. And if you don't have Christ, you'll be in hell. So you better enjoy every minute you have right now. And this body is ticking away. I don't know how long I have. You don't know how long you have. You could be a lot younger than me and die tonight. You just don't know. You're playing Russian roulette when you put off Christ. And in Revelations 21:8, this is who's going to be in hell. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, and all liars. Have you ever lied? It says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death. We're all born once. If we're born twice, that means being born again, you're only going to die once, okay, this physical body. But if you aren't saved, you're going to die the physical death and a spiritual death. You're going to be in the lake of fire with burneth, which is the second death. So I ask you today, if you would die today, where would you be, heaven or hell? Where would you be? If you tell me, well, I really don't know. You know, chances are you're on your way to hell. Not what I'm saying. This is what the Word of God says. And this is what the Word says. It says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." I know where I'm going because I trusted Christ. And it's not because I'm good or kind or nothing. My works don't mean nothing. It's because I accepted Jesus Christ's payment on the cross for my sins. He wiped me clean as snow. That's why I'm going to heaven. So if you don't know Christ, tonight's the night you could get right with Jesus Christ right up here. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Jesus also says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart. He's knocking. "If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Is he knocking on the door of your heart tonight? Is he pulling at you tonight to get right with him? Here's another word of advice. The Bible also says the more you hear the Word of God and reject it, the harder your heart becomes. And it's harder to have the Holy Spirit draw you to him. So if the Lord's tugging on your heart, come forward. And my buddy Casey's out here tonight. And one night when I was preaching, he come up forward and he got right with Jesus Christ. And he said until that night, he'd always doubt whether his salvation, whether he was really going, he was right with Jesus. But he said, when he come up forward, it cemented it, and he doubts it no more, right? Amen. There you go. Praise the Lord. So if the Lord's tugging, Scott, why don't you come up? He's going to sing a song, and it's called People Need the Lord. And if the Lord's tugging, I'm going to be right down here. And I have these little booklets, Knowing God Personally. If the Lord's tugging on your heart, come up. Because the Bible also says this. It might be rough for you to come up, but this is what the Word of God says. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. So if he's tugging, come forward while Scott sings.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost of sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the pain they bear. They must hear the words of life that only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the only door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord?
close in a word of prayer. Thank you, kind Heavenly Father, that you loved us so much. You came down and died for each and every one of us. And let us all be that light wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, all the circumstances. Let us all glorify you and draw other people to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.